Welcome to Real Talk, the show where Jamie and Tom talk about movies that they want. Enjoy.
Welcome to episode 5. 5 is it? Of Real Punks, the film review podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Jamie.
I'm Tom.
He's got a mouthful of tofu.
Mm.
About to have one as well. Tonight we're watching David Fincher's Zodiac, which was from 2007, I think. Obviously directed by David Fincher, of Fight Club and other films that David Fincher directed.
Right.
Stars Jake Gyllenhaal, Robert Downey Jr., that guy, Mark Ruffalo. I always remember his name by thinking of the Gruffalo.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
So,
we were going to watch Gattaca.
Oh, of course, but, yeah, it's best to say that.
But, I think we forgot to post the last podcast where we said we were going to watch Gattaca.
Yeah, so, it's my fault, sorry.
So, what we're going to do is we're going to post the last podcast, and then we're going to listen to Gattaca, and then hopefully by then, if you're listening, you will have heard it.
Yeah, so we're basically extending the Gattaca non-contest.
Yeah,
for another week.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe you haven't seen Zodiac, in which case it might be worth going back and watching Gattaca, and then listening to the Gattaca episode, and then watching Zodiac, and then listening to this episode. Well, this is pretty confusing.
Well, I always clearly mark the episodes, but I don't know what the film is.
Right.
They won't ever mistake this film for a Gattaca episode.
Okay, sick. Okay, so maybe we should just get on with it.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Let's get on with eating and with watching.
Rad.
Hi, I'm Coffin John of the VCinema webcast.
And I'm Josh of VariedCellulite.net.
We're from the VCinema podcast, a podcast dedicated to Asian, cult, and genre cinema.
We cover all genres from Shaw Brothers and Roman porno to heroic bloodshed in contemporary South Korean cinema.
You can find us at VCinema.VariedCelluloid.net or in the iTunes store under VCinema.
That website again is VCinema.VariedCelluloid.net.
So, we just watched Zodiac.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you think?
Sorry, just turning the speakers off there. I enjoyed that a lot. I thought it was completely rad. I got a little bit lost in, if we divide the two halves into the kind of...
Well, before we get into it, I need to say, I was so gripped. Like, it's the second time I watched it,
yeah.
I was so gripped that I held needing the toilet for almost the entire 2 or 3/4 hours running time.
Right, it is fucking long. So long. But, yeah, it's worth it. I mean, I do think the first half could have been condensed a little bit.
Yeah, it's a bit baggy.
Yeah. But I liked how they had that kind of... The 4-year break was basically denoted by... What, 15, 20 seconds of a completely black screen,
yeah,
and just radio shows. And I found that really, like, so I was getting lost, and that just kind of completely rebooted it. Like, if they just had another 4 years later, like they had throughout the rest,
yeah,
of the film, like 2 months later, 3 months later, I would have been fucking lost completely. But I just kind of like the idea of having shots which are just completely black.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Sorry, carry on.
Yeah, no, but it was thoroughly gripping. Like, a little less so in the first half, but in the second half, especially when he goes to that guy's house to look at movie posters.
Yeah.
And just totally shits the bed.
Yeah.
You know, it's proper scary. And you're just thinking, what the fuck are you doing here? Get out. Like, yeah, it's great. I enjoyed it a lot.
So I showed that to you because... Well, like, I picked it for us to watch because I know how much you liked Memories of Murder.
Yeah, I did enjoy that.
And I think it's a very similar film.
Yeah.
And there's another film that's very similar that's also Korean called The Chaser, which you need to watch.
Right.
But it's just so good. I mean, it's shot so beautifully.
Yeah.
It's like just next level.
Yeah. I wonder if I enjoyed Memories of Murder more, though. I'm not sure... Okay, so first metric, right? First basis for comparison. In Memories of Murder, three times, someone gets drop kicked in the chest.
That's true.
And in this film, no one gets drop kicked in the chest at all.
That is
so
true.
I think that really kind of shows where all the Oscars should be focused.
Yeah.
You know, like obviously, drop kicks in the chest are the mainstay of any serious filmmaking. But I mean, I say that like obviously half tongue in cheek, but it actually is unbelievably rad just how like it's not overplayed in Memories of Murder. Like this dude literally just gets mad, jumps over a desk and kicks someone in the chest with both feet and then lands on his ass, and it's brilliant. So maybe, you know, maybe Zodiac could have had a bit more of that, but
yeah.
But no, I mean, like, the violence at the start of this was a bit too much. Like, the whole stabbing scene was really dark.
Well, I guess you needed to set up how brutal the Zodiac killings actually were.
Yeah, I like that it didn't, like, it didn't drive that home too much.
Yeah,
you know?
it's not Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah. It could have just really played off that.
Yeah,
eight,
and there's been 50,000 other Zodiac films that have all done the same thing.
Have there actually been other mates with the same story then?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And one of the things that I realised watching this is I actually misremembered some of the stuff from Dirty Harry.
Right.
Because Dirty Harry, I'm not sure if you've seen it, but no. Dirty Harry basically is a fictionalised story of Zodiac.
Right.
With basically an ass-kicking cop.
Right.
In the place of Jake Gyllenhaal.
Right, okay.
Who just goes and shoots people with his Magnum.
Sick.
And it's rad.
Yeah.
But it's Clint Eastwood, and it's a very different film, obviously. But I was misremembering some of the Zodiac
as
the Scorpio stuff from
from
Dirty Harry.
Uh-huh.
Like, I've not seen any of the other Zodiac films, but I know there's been a lot, and I know they've all been sort of serial killer stories rather than like procedural thriller dramas or whatever.
I'm trying to think what to say about that. I did enjoy it. There was a minimum number of silly things. Like, I think the start was a bit overplayed, where, you know, he gets this cipher in the post, and they have scenes where they're in like the FBI and CIA, and they've got these teams working on these ciphers, and then like a history teacher solves it.
Yeah,
which is a bit odd.
Well, I tend to think that they solve it wrong.
Yeah.
With the leftover letters, I mean, that's underplayed, but if you have leftover letters in a cipher, I would generally assume that it was wrong.
You found some nice solution. But then, having said that, that's one good way of strengthening a cipher, by putting random junk in with it.
Yeah.
But I did quite like how they talked about the mechanics of it. So, you know, Jake Gyllenhaal's character talks about how you break a cipher like that. And that's a bit why, like, it's nice that they talked about that, and they said, well, you know, you can find these patterns of letters and that gives you the code for your character. But the fact that it was such a simple cipher kind of means that, you know, if you've got CIA code breakers, then look at it. It's blatantly the first thing you try, and you'd solve it within kind of 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So you wouldn't, you know, really need to give it to a history teacher. But, I mean, it's complete nitpicking. Like, it's just one of those things that I kind of noticed.
Well, it's, I mean, unlike a lot of other historical sort of or fictional retellings of historical stories that I watched, like, particularly the ones about, say, Watergate, because I'm quite into my Watergate.
Right.
I can watch those and say, no, that didn't happen. No, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
No, that whole thing's bullshit.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't know an awful lot about Zodiac, so I can look at it and say, well, maybe that's just how it happened.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I have this ridiculous tendency to overanalyze stuff, and that scene didn't particularly dominate it. So, you know, it doesn't really matter. And I did like that they left these kind of unaccounted for letters at the end.
Yeah.
And he starts hacking around with them to try and figure out what they mean. And then they just, you know, they just don't tell you. You're left curious. And I like that this, you know, just doesn't just, like, hold your hand, walk you through things.
Yeah.
You have to kind of keep up.
Well, it's David Fincher. I mean, he's not McGee or Michael Bay.
Right. What else are you in?
He did Fight Club.
Right.
I'm trying to think what else he's done. Like, off the top of my head, I'm struggling to think of stuff.
So, as an aside, the first time I watched Fight Club, I thought it was wicked. And then when I thought about it again recently, I realised it's fucking awful.
Fight Club is a good film, but it's very flawed.
I think it's just like, I think it's the whole.
We also did Seven.
Right.
And okay. The Social Network, which you obviously have no interest in watching.
Yeah, no, not at all. I think the thing with Fight Club is, you know, it's centered around this ridiculous premise that, like, if you destroy all the records of credit card companies, then suddenly everything's okay. It's just completely ridiculous. Like, well, I mean, they didn't even, like, you know, if you were really thinking about it, and you were thinking that, oh, you could basically just blow up a few institutions, and then everything would be, like, evened, then you'd pick stock exchanges, not the credit card companies. I mean, just this, like, one of those ridiculous things where people focus on, like, consumerism as the root of all evil, and they kind of say, oh, you know, it's oh, we live in such a consumerist society, it's bullshit, and it's like, well, yeah, I mean, that's great, but your analysis is really weak, like, you know, there are other factors at work here.
Yeah.
Like, admittedly, like, very consumer-oriented society isn't particularly healthy, but that alone is a symptom. It's not, you know,
yeah.
A symptom of something bigger. It's not like, it's not the central focus of society's ills.
I think with Fight Club, though, when you get, like, a group of people who play anarchist,
yeah,
which is effectively what they're doing, or they're playing, like, smash the system.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's what, like, if a group of, like, knobheads who wanted to smash the system were to do something,
that's what they do.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. But I think it's
plausible, but it doesn't make it, like,
oh,
real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think it's valorized in that film. You
yeah.
Know, like, I think it could have been shot as, like, hey, look what these group of dickheads did. Aren't they dickheads? But instead, it was shot as, like, yeah, it's so wicked to smash the system.
Well, I think they are portrayed as dickheads
really?
In Fight Club, especially like the scene when Meatloaf dies, and afterwards, Ed Norton's character's like, his name is Robert Paulson. He's not just a nameless, like, face.
Yeah.
They're all like, oh, so we're gonna read this thing that you just said as something completely different in order to further our thing. In Death, you get a name in Project Mayhem, his name was Robert Paulson, and they chant it for about 16 hours.
Right, okay.
So I think it's sort of, it shows both sides.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to argue that it was valorized, which is a really good fucking word.
Yeah, it just came to me, and I was like, yeah, getting that one out. Fucking A.
So, but it also shows that they are sort of naive idiots at the same time.
Yeah. I haven't watched it in a long time, to be fair.
Me neither. I mean, it's not the sort of film that I can watch very often.
Yeah, I think it's just that I can't really stomach Chuck Palahniuk. Like, he's just not a very good writer.
He's very style over substance.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Like, I read a book by him called Invisible Monster, which I liked a lot.
Right.
But it's, like, I was really enjoying it, but I found myself hating it at the same time as enjoying it.
Right.
Like, it's just shit, but it's really compelling shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's the same, like, the only thing I've read of his was Choke.
Yeah.
Which is basically about someone with a sex addiction. Who
yeah, your Moon Man was in the movie.
Oh, I don't remember. What?
The man from Moon. What's his name? Sam Rockwell.
Really?
Yeah, he played the main
dude.
Oh,
there's a Choke film. Oh,
yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah, I wouldn't bother watching it.
Well, it's Sam Rockwell. He's a fucking great actor.
Okay.
I might. Like, if it's on telly.
But, you know, if you've got to come up with some, like, salacious, compelling but completely vapid storyline, you pick someone who's got a sex addiction and goes to Sex Addicts Anonymous and bangs in the back room of the meeting and, you know, just like, right, great. And the whole thing is focused around, oh, you know, I don't want to talk about it. It's pretty grim.
Yeah, I didn't like Choke very much.
No. But anyway, so back to
Yeah, Back to Zodiac.
Yeah, the film that we just watched, the name of which I already forgot. Robert Downey Jr.'s wicked in it.
I'd actually forgotten how funny the first half of the film is.
It's so good. Yeah, I mean, Robert Downey Jr. plays the same one and only character that I've ever seen him play.
Well, obviously, yeah. Is he in Less Than Zero? I think he plays a drug addict in Less Than Zero, which is maybe typecasting, because he was a drug addict at the time.
Really? Oh, right. Okay.
I think it's Less Than Zero.
That's just an easier act to pull, then, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're just like...
Instead of playing the same character he plays, he just plays himself.
Yeah. And if he needs to kind of have that coke-addled look, they just, you know, lock him in a room and don't give him any coke for a few days. He is very funny and good in it.
Yeah.
But all of his cadence and delivery and intonation is the same, almost exactly the same, but a little less jovial.
I think if you hire Robert Downey Jr., that's what you want.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess you could almost say the same for Jake Gyllenhaal.
He's really fucking good in this film.
Yeah.
At the very beginning, I found it hard to look at him, even though I've seen it before. I found it hard to look at him and not think, yeah, but you were 15 years old in Donnie Darko like 3 years earlier.
Oh, I forgot that he was in that. Yeah, that's.
But then by the end of it, I'd just completely forgotten that.
So Donnie Darko, right?
Yeah, go on.
The low point of Jake Gyllenhaal's movie career.
It's a very popular film.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean it doesn't suck balls.
I don't have too many problems with it. I mean, it's nonsense, but it's it's compelling nonsense.
Nothing winds me up quite as much as the front of the front cover of Brit that says the best indie flick since Donnie Darko. Like, wait, Donnie Darko doesn't even fucking shine a candle on Brick. Like, shine a candle on, hold a candle too. Yeah, great English. Anyway,
yeah.
So
that you valorise the use of bad English then.
But anyhow, I mean, okay, so maybe he's not. So I was thinking of Jake Gyllenhaal with respect to Jarhead, which is the last thing I watched them in.
I've still not seen Jarhead.
It's quite good. I enjoyed it. I mean, he ups the timidity in this.
Yeah. None of the people who listen to this will get this because they don't exist in our circle of friends.
Right.
But does he remind you of Sam at all?
Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah.
As in, like,
Albany Road Sam, yeah. Not only did we just say Sam's name on the podcast, we also said his address. Let's point that out.
I think he's moving house.
Okay, that's fine. Good.
Yeah.
But there's. I just saw, particularly this character, this Jake Gyllenhaal character. I saw some similarities.
I can see it. Yeah. I'd never thought about it before, but it's there.
Let's talk about how hilarious the scene with the. With the drinks, the blue drink, what's that?
That's amazing. What did you say? You wouldn't be taking the piss or something if you'd tasted it.
Yeah.
Well, I can't remember the exact line. And then it just comes to a shot of like six of them on a table. That's so good. That's definitely a very kind of... You know, you couldn't have switched another actor in for Robert Downey Jr. in that one. Like, you need his...
Yeah.
Like, certain sense of insincerity.
I don't know if you got this from the character, but like at one point Robert Downey Jr.'s character refers to Zodiac as a latent homosexual.
But he's
very camp.
What, Robert Downey Jr.?
His character is very camp.
Yeah, I did like that. I mean, and even as he's writing it, when it cuts to the shot of his face, like he has that kind of slightly even a camp approach to the typewriter.
Those series of shots almost reminded me of the opening credits to Murder, She Wrote as well.
Right, yeah, I see what you mean. I got a little bit lost in the middle.
It gets a bit baggy in the middle and you start to sort of phase out a little bit.
Yeah, that's exactly the problem that I had. I think that could have been tightened up.
Yeah, definitely could have. But I think... The tone and the length is, and even maybe the bagginess to some degree were very deliberate. But it definitely could have done with some tightening up.
Yeah.
This being the second time I watched it, and I've read a bit about it like in the intervening couple of years since I last watched it, and I read that there was a lot of use of CGI in the film.
Yeah.
And so I started to find myself looking out for it.
Right.
And there's some scenes which is blatantly fucking obvious that there's loads of CGI in the background. The lake scene, for instance.
I think like the shot of the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah.
And most of the blood spatter.
Well, yeah, we could see it with the blood splatter.
Yeah.
CGI blood is one of my massive bugbears.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because is it really just so fucking hard to use a squib?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, like, you know, take a squib, just works, right? Take, you know, trying to simulate, like, the complex fluid flow of blood splatter.
Yeah.
Like, why bother? You know, it's really, really fucking difficult.
Yeah.
You know, I don't... Because for a lot of CGI stuff, you know, like car crashes, I guess you start by kind of... You don't hand do it frame by frame. You kind of program the physics in.
Yeah.
And then you set it running. I mean, I assume so. And then you make tweaks by hand if you want to.
Yeah.
But with blood spatter, I can't even imagine how you'd do that. Like, it'd be so complicated. So I can only assume people are just hand doing the whole thing, which is why it looks really shit, in the same way that like early CGI characters walking looks really bad.
Yeah.
I hadn't really quite got the motion of it down.
One of my favourite stories about blood splatter in films is Robert Rodriguez's first directorial film, which was Desperado.
Right.
Like his first feature, or it's the first one I know about anyway. He used special guns that fired blood capsules.
Amazing.
So, like, they actually had to go back when they released the film and, like, take some of the blood out because it was considered, like, far too gory.
Amazing. CGI, all the blood, back out.
Yeah.
Amazing.
But, I mean, fucking Zodiac, man. It's compelling.
Yeah.
It's so compelling.
There's so much in it that is quite tricky for me to... condense it all into my head and think about particular scenes.
One of the things that I'd be mad if I didn't mention is I really love the fact that Mark Ruffalo is basically playing Columbo.
Right, yeah. Oh, I can't believe... Where is his cigar?
He had like a little stogie.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. But yeah, no, I saw
that. Sort of, like dishevelled Mark-wearing detective. It's just Columbo.
It's ridiculous. That's got to have been quite conscious.
Yeah, it really will have.
Yeah.
He's fucking incredible in the film. If you see him when he plays, he's in his sort of romantic comedy leading man thing.
Yeah.
Where he's quite sort of upright and handsome.
Right.
Or even in his, like, sort of nerdier roles in, like, say, Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind.
Right.
Where he's sort of the handsome nerd.
Mm.
He's just completely different. He's like, he's almost, like, rewritten... himself as like a completely different person. Like, he's barely recognisable. I think he plays a lot older than he is as well.
Right. I think that's probably the difference. I mean, I haven't seen his other stuff. I think that's the difference between him and the other couple of lead characters. Mm. That they seem to be fairly kind of narrow in their range. I'm trying to think of other people that I've seen who just managed to switch into wildly different characters, and I can't get all of like the Broken Lizard crew out of my head.
Yeah,
but they don't really count.
They don't count at all.
No,
because all their characters are essentially the same. They just sort of switch them around. Maybe Johnny Depp. He does some of that stuff quite well.
I think I've only ever seen one Johnny Depp film.
It's probably for the best.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's
made a lot of shit. He's made a lot of really good films. Like in his early career, like before he got like chin deep on Tim Burton's nutsack, he was making some like really good, really different films in which he would basically play against how good looking he was.
Is Sweeney Todd a Tim Burton film?
Yeah.
You know what?
It's fucking shit.
You know what? I fucking hate Tim Burton, right?
Yeah.
I hate Tim Burton and I hate musicals.
Well, I like musicals, but I hate Tim Burton.
But anyway, I hate Tim Burton and I hate musicals. And when I went to see Sweeney Todd, I had no idea what I was seeing. And I wandered in telling the person who took me how much I fucking hated musicals. I probably wasn't quite ranting about Tim Burton as well at the time.
Yeah.
So I was ranting about musicals, and she wasn't really sure what we were seeing either. And we sat down, and Johnny Depp sails onto the screen,
yeah,
and starts singing. And I just sink into the seat and realise what I've got to sit through. It was fucking horrific.
It is horrific. It's a terrible, terrible film.
I mean, you know what though? Like, I kind of enjoyed the film, but I just, you know, I obviously would have been a whole lot happier without all the fucking singing in it.
Yeah. Well, it's based on a Sondheim musical.
Right, okay.
Like a stage musical.
Right. But what, I don't understand why Tim Burton exists.
Well, like, Tim Burton exists as a really good set dresser, or a really good, like, props maker.
Yeah, but I hate his whole fucking style. Like, I hate all of his artistic style.
I think it has some merit.
No, it has its place. Like, it has some merit on, like, on t-shirts in, like, really shitty gothy shops that 16-year-olds wear. And that's his entire range.
Like, it is his entire
that's
range.
That's all he does. And
well, when he doesn't do that, he does Planet of the Apes. So let's thank God that he does do that. He did the remake of Planet of the Apes.
I've not even seen it.
Well, okay. Remember that time when you spoiled the end of Dogtooth?
Dogville,
not Dogtooth, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to spoil the end of Planet of the Apes now.
Is it really bad?
Yeah, it's the worst thing you'll ever see. It's hilarious.
So wait a minute. So why are we thankful that he does the other stuff? Because it's all bad then.
Well, like, no, because it's like, say, Edward Scissorhands, right. It's watchable. Say, Big Fish is alright.
But surely all these things...
Beetlejuice, I fucking love Beetlejuice.
Okay, that's an exception.
What else has he done? I don't fucking care, right? But I'm going to spoil the end of Planet of the Apes, right?
Is it just the same as the original?
No. Album? Right? Mark Wahlberg escapes from the Planet of the Apes in his little spaceship.
Right.
Flies back to Earth. Right? While he's at the Planet of the Apes,
yeah.
There's this bad ape.
Right.
Who's played by Tim Roth. Right. Who's called Admiral Bad Ape. Or something, right?
Something really on the nose.
I know. He's all snarly and it's rubbish, right?
Right.
But so he flies back to Earth. He crash lands on Earth, right? And he crash lands at the big statue of
the Statue of Liberty.
No, Abraham Lincoln.
Right.
The one where he sat in the chair looking all stern, right? Yeah. But it's not Abraham Lincoln. The body's Abraham Lincoln, but the head is Admiral Bad Ape. And then a police car pulls up, some monkeys run out and arrest Mark Wahlberg. And that's the end of the film.
Are you serious? That's the worst thing ever.
Yes, it is.
That's the single worst thing that ever happened. Oh, man. Also, you know what? After that, all celluloid should just be burnt.
Yes.
You know, just to, like, cleanse the whole of humanity's palate.
It's the second worst ending I've ever seen in my life.
After what?
After The Village.
I don't know if I've seen that.
The Village, I'm going to spoil that as well, right? Because I have an amazing story about when I saw that in the cinema.
Right, okay.
But at the end of The Village, right, basically... The village is all about these people who live in a tiny village in the middle of the woods.
Right.
And you're not allowed to leave the clearing where the village is in.
Okay.
Because evil things live in the woods, these monsters.
Right.
But you really find out that the monster is a costume that people put on to scare people who go into the woods.
Right.
So they don't leave. But these people go into the woods and then they go out of the woods. They climb over a big fence. Oh, the it's like a medieval village. Also, I skipped that bit out. And they climb over the fence, and it's modern day. And it's like these bunch of people were just so sick of like all the killing and raping and shit. They decided to go pretend to be in a really medieval village, in the middle of a national park.
That's shit.
Yeah. That's But the funny story was right. There's the scene where these two people are escaping.
Yeah.
And what's his name? Captain Massive Nose.
Captain Massive Nose?
what's the actor called? Adrian Brody.
Right, okay.
He plays...
Captain Massive Nose.
Yes. he plays this sort of retarded character.
Right.
I'm trying to think of a more diplomatic way of saying it, but he's completely fucking retarded. Right. And not like, oh my god, that was so retarded. It's like, oh god, that guy's really retarded.
Right.
And at one point... He puts on the monster costume and chases them and falls into a pit that they dug to catch the monster
right.
So they could carry on their way.
Right.
And he falls in the pit and dies with the monster costume on, and someone in the cinema shouted, "Oh my god, the creature ate Noah!"
What?
Don't know. I completely missed the fucking point.
Well, did no one had any idea what they were talking about.
No.
What?
It's just nuts.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Don't ever watch that film.
No, I won't do it. Yeah.
So back onto Zodiac anyway.
Yeah, we seem to be ambling, wandering.
Well, we tend to do that all the time.
Yeah, alright.
That's part of our charm.
Is it? Okay, I'll remind people of that next time they tell me to shut up. No. No.
No, it's part of my charm.
Part of my charm.
Your charm is when you sort of speak endlessly about science and
that's
stuff.
That's not charming. That's not charming. I managed to not talk about science. Oh! No, I did spend a lot of Saturday night talking about science.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
What kind of science?
About...
Biology, actually.
Shut up. Don't do it. About... Fuck it. You know what?
Zodiac.
I keep wanting to call this film The Living Daylights.
That's a James Bond film.
Yeah.
Why would you want to call it The Living Daylights?
I have no idea. It's just the thing that keeps popping into my head.
They finished their album tonight. Not tonight. I'm talking shit. It's not tonight at all. They were recording Gang Vocals tonight.
The band? Old.
Yeah.
As in the Lincoln Band?
Yeah. Oh. They're in Manchester at the moment.
Really?
Yeah, that's where they're recording.
Huh. I didn't know that. Come on. What else is notable about Zodiac?
Well, lots of stuff.
Well, go
and
for
I'm going to list them.
Yeah.
In a minute. I like that it prescribes to the theory that Lee Allen, Arthur Lee Allen was the killer.
Yeah.
Although we don't really know that for sure. And it's I find it good in these sorts of films where they just pick a side.
Yeah.
And that's their side.
Well, yeah, but do they? I mean, I find it a lot more ambiguous than that.
They definitely, like, at the end, and, like...
I think they follow the character's trail.
Yeah.
But I don't think they ever settle on it, you know?
Well, when he goes to the hardware shop at the end, the hardware store.
Yeah.
It's America.
Yeah, yeah.
And he sort of looks at him, and then he looks back, and then they share a look.
Yeah.
And it's fairly, I think that's fairly conclusive. But I mean, it's true that I guess if we are seeing it through Grayskull's eyes, whatever his name is.
Grayskull, no, that's a much better name, yeah. Grayskull's eyes. But the thing is, like, they also have that utterly fucking freaky scene where he goes to that projectionist's house.
Yeah.
And it just seems just absolutely certain that that's him.
Yeah.
And
they're both him, that there's.
Yeah,
that guy.
I can't get it out of my head that they're in the basement. And you hear someone walking around upstairs,
yeah.
And it accounts for these different handwriting styles because there's actually more than one killer.
Yeah,
which
like you could write the letters together, like bits of letters.
Well, I mean, or you know, you have letters that seem not to match up.
Yeah,
or different people wrote different letters.
Well, the letters are what the guy from Magnolia said. Was that the letters always matched up,
right.
But it was just certain letters that didn't match,
right.
Like from letter to letter. Like
okay.
It was the K mostly.
Right. But even so, that would imply someone who is trying to maintain a consistent style,
yeah.
By looking at other people's letters, but then slipping up on certain things.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, that would be a rad way to build a conspiracy.
Yeah.
You have two or three people. Who are involved in some pattern of activity, and every time you think you've pinned one of them down, then they have an alibi because they didn't do it all.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of Cobra.
The fuck are you talking about?
Well, like, because Cobra, like the killer,
the
killer
film.
Yeah, in Cobra was a massive cult. Spoiler alert.
but yeah, I so completely didn't follow Cobra.
Did you fall asleep?
Yeah, I remember being drunk and tired, and watching it. And just thinking, basically, this whole film is predicated on Stallone shooting at loads of shit. So I'll kind of ingest about that much and then leave the rest. I mean, that was...
There's nothing much more to gain from
no,
it.
No,
he says some pretty snazzy one-liners.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's about all you need, isn't it?
So, I decided two things. I'm not watching any more Stallone films.
No, yes, you are. Right. I need to make you watch Tango and Cash.
Okay,
after
okay.
last week's admission of you never seeing Tango and Cash.
Okay, but you know what else? You
the homoerotic smash, and that's...
Tango and Cash, the homoerotic smash?
Yes.
That's amazing. You know what else? I've decided I'm never, ever, ever watching any more of those shitty DC Comics films or like Marvel Comics films.
So that means you're not going to watch the next Batman film?
Ah, wait for it. Wait for it. With the one exception of Batman. So I was thinking about this morning, right? I was walking through town and there was a billboard for Green Hornet.
Yeah, it looks shit.
Yeah, and I just thought...
That wasn't a DC comic, I don't think. Was it serial before it was a comic?
Alright, but my point is, like, any of those, like, just shitty comic book-esque superhero things.
Yeah.
Batman is the only one that I can conceive of.
What if Nolan does Superman?
Oh, I think that's unlikely. I mean, maybe...
It's been touted.
But maybe, like, he's the guy who can actually pull it off, right? But, like, Superman... Green Hornet, Spider-Man, Watchmen.
I don't know, the new Spider-Man stills with Andrew Garfield are pretty sweet.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, but so up until now, like, just...
Well, the first and second Spider-Man
X-Men,
films are fun.
Right. Yeah, but they're fun, but they're just like, just fucking dull. Like,
they're they're not dull, they're exciting and
yeah,
fun.
Okay. No, but they're just like, oh, I don't know. Like,
they're not...
colourful.
They're not Brick or like, Zodiac or
like they're vapid. Like they're just like they're just real fucking time fillers. They're like things that you're like, oh, there's nothing else on, I guess I'll watch that.
Well, sometimes you want a popcorn chomper and sometimes you want
but that's fine, but like a popcorn chomper that just isn't like so for me like a popcorn chomper is something like the 51st State or something.
I've never actually watched 51st State. That's got Robert Carlyle in it.
Yeah.
That we talked about last week.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can remember who it was.
Like, not very good. Kind of a bit of a filler. But not like just absurdly fucking badly stylized. I don't know. I just don't like them. Like, I liked V for Vendetta. I thought that was brilliant. But then I think that was largely the content of it rather than the style.
Yeah.
And it also, the style is fairly low play.
We didn't talk about how one of the guys that directed that isn't a guy anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
What, V for Vendetta?
Yeah, Larry Wachowski is now Lana Wachowski. I only found this out recently.
Right.
They made The Matrix and Speed Racer as well.
They're the Wachowski brothers?
Yeah. Well, they're not the Wachowski brothers anymore. They're just the Wachowskis.
The Wachowski siblings?
Yeah.
I did not know. Huh. Apparently Matrix 4 and 5...
I've heard.
Schedules.
Oh, there's new Batman casting news as well.
Really?
Yeah, it's...
I was going to say Anne Whittaker.
Anne Hathaway. As Catwoman. And your man from Bronson. Bronson as Bane.
Yes. Yeah. Jim brought that up.
I don't know how he's going to pull it off. Because Bane's Spanish. Half of the time he's a weedy little man. Well, not a weedy little man, but like your average man. The rest of the time, he's a huge Hulk-esque character.
So Jim brought this up. Jim said, oh, you know, they chose that guy because he can lose and gain weight very easily. And I completely didn't know what he was talking about because I didn't know who Bane was. But now you say that. So apparently...
Does Tom Hardy lose? Yeah, does he lose and gain weight?
Maybe.
He's not Christian Bale, surely.
No. But, so Tom Hardy... before Bronson played quite a skinny character.
Yeah. Well, he's huge in Bronson.
Yeah, like, but apparently he put all that weight on in like 3 months. He put on like on numerous kilograms. I'm thinking in somewhere in the region of 20 kilograms.
Well, Christian Bale did the same for the first Batman film. He was in The Machinist
first, where
he made himself like
disgustingly
thin. Is the disgustingly
and
thin
apparently
word
he was trying to go a lot further and the doctors just wouldn't let him.
Yeah. He's done the same again for the boxing film.
Really?
What's it called?
Oh, is he skinned down?
The Boxers.
Fighter.
The fighter, that's it.
Yeah. Is he skinned down again?
Yeah, he plays a crackhead, I think, in that film.
Why? It's just not healthy. Why bother? Like, you know,
it's a lot like, who's that actor? Laurence Olivier said to, they were shooting Marathon Man.
Right.
And Dustin Hoffman, who's old method, like Christian Bale, was had a scene where he had to be out of breath. So Dustin Hoffman did a massive like lap of the set,
yeah,
and then came back and was out of breath. And Laurence Olivier was like, "Why don't you just try acting?"
That's wicked.
Yeah, but I don't know. You can't act thin, but you can. You can act in a way that a thin person would act. I don't know. I think a lot of the draw of say The Machinist was, did you know that he lost this much weight so he could do it? And then he gained all the weight afterwards for Batman. Watch this film.
Yeah. And, like, and then you watch film, it and it's a pile of balls.
Well, the film's alright and it's fairly obvious, like, ooh, what's going on? Ooh, who's this
really,
character?
It's also got a really bad ending.
Well, it's got the same ending as all those other films. The
that are that bad. Yeah.
They're all the same film. It's just, I mean, it's nothing new and it's just your indie sort of, ooh, thriller. I mean, it's basically Memento. But it is.
It's a cross between Memento and Fight Club with none of the good parts of either.
Yeah.
Like, oh well. I don't even know how we got onto this topic.
Me neither. You said that you never wanted to watch any more DC.
Yeah, I just don't care. I really don't want to see the Green Hornet ever.
Well, don't watch it then.
But I also, you know, I'm never compelled to watch any of the Spider-Man things. And
what if they make, right? They were going to make Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
They're going to make The Flash.
Catwoman, there's another one that's meant to be totally.
Well, yeah, obviously. Well, that's not even real. It's not even a thing.
That's not a thing.
It's not. Like,
I like how you used to justify, like, you separate the world into things that are a thing and things that are not a thing.
Exactly.
It's nonsense categorization.
But it's not even a thing. It's like, it's not a comic book film, is what I mean. It's a film based on nothing. It's like, it's based on an abstract idea of what Catwoman might be.
Right.
Like, the theory behind the film Catwoman, she's not Catwoman from Batman.
Right.
She's, it's based on this bullshit idea that maybe there's a Catwoman in every city. Maybe there's a Catwoman here and here. And in this one, in Gotham, she's a baddie. And in Halle Berry cunt universe, she's a goodie wearing a sexy outfit.
Right.
It's just bullshit. It's not a thing.
Okay. Fair enough, it's not a thing. I can kind of deal with Halle Berry in a Catwoman outfit, though.
Well, I can't deal with Halle Berry in a fake-ass Catwoman outfit, which is nothing to do with...
Really?
Yeah, Catwoman's all slinky and sexy. She doesn't have big bog eyes and a fucking... Oh, fuck,
is that what Halle Berry has? Bog eyes?
Yes, she does.
Right, okay. I wasn't aware of that. Well, we've set the world to rights.
Yeah, we have.
Now everyone in the world knows...
What's a thing and what isn't a thing?
Yeah, what's a thing, what isn't a thing, and that Halle Berry has bog eyes.
But I don't know, like, what I'm saying is, The Flash, Superman, Wonder Woman, and then they're going to make Justice League, and Batman is part of the Justice League.
Oh, the Fantastic Four, that's another one.
Fuck Marvel. Like, fuck, Marvel's a load of bullshit.
The Hulk! Probably going to watch. Keep reeling them off for, like, every single, even half decent, like, comic-y based film.
Yeah.
There's just bags full of balls.
I think they did something really brave with the Hulk, but it's not a good film.
I like that. Yeah, it's a bit like,
well, it's called The Hulk, and they don't even bring the Hulk out till the second half. It's a real character film.
Right.
But it's shit.
It's a bit like, you know, when
you give the Hulk to Ang Lee and you expect him to make, I mean, that's the film that you would expect Ang Lee to make, because he tried really hard to do what Ang Lee would do, but also make the Hulk at the same time. And it, of course, it's going to come out like a half-baked pile of shit. what else do you expect?
I like that. You know, it was brave, but it sucked. And it kind of brings to mind, like, you know, someone who started playing guitar 6 months ago, you know, getting out on stage in front of a stadium of thousands of people. Like Fred Durst did. Have you seen that video?
No.
Oh, it's amazing.
I've seen his sex tape.
Oh, I don't even want to know.
It's hilarious.
I can imagine. Yeah. Every time I feel down, I can just kind of think, yeah.
Fred Durst exists.
Yeah. Yeah. And at least I'm better at banging than he is.
The sex tape's hilarious, right? You don't know it's him. He's holding, like, his camera phone or whatever.
Right.
And he's like, going away, doggy style. Yeah. I'm doing motions here.
Right.
And then he just turns the camera around and goes, and just turns it around again. Just so everyone knows it's him.
Amazing. But yeah, so Fred Durst gets on stage and you know, has a guitar and plays, I think, some part of some song that...
Was it Smells Like Teen Spirit? That's the first song I ever learned.
Maybe. But it's really bad. And then it ends with a solo, which is just... I mean, just do it. Just do YouTube, okay. Fred Durst guitar, because it's unspeakably awful. Yeah. Like, I really wish there was some mechanism of inserting it right into this now. But
there isn't.
No. Well,
there probably is, but...
But we can't be arsed.
No.
Yeah.
Like, judging by last week, I can't even be able to edit the podcast
together. I'll put it up. Yeah. Yeah, fuck hosting it, yeah.
Is it not enough that it just exists? Can't you just come to me and take it off my hard drive?
Yeah. That's what she said.
Yeah, about the child porn.
Yeah. So that...
Wait, what?
Yeah, I mean, that murderer, Lee, or that alleged murderer...
Yeah, that's how we got onto it.
Also, touched children.
He did touch children.
Right. I mean, how did he spend any time out of jail anyway?
Well, in the 70s, just that sort of thing
just wasn't a thing.
Well, no, it wasn't. In the 70s.
He's saying that in the 70s, some mother, you know, goes to the police station and says, that man molested my children. The cop just went, that's not a thing. Is that how it worked?
Well, no, but in the 70s, it was just a thing that happened.
You mean it's not a thing?
Well, it was a thing, but it happened.
Oh, but, okay. But so wait a minute, it happens now and it's a thing, but then it happened and it wasn't a thing.
Like, in the 70s, and probably for many, many years before, it was just a thing that happened and like you couldn't do anything about it.
Huh.
Like, there's so many, I don't know if you've seen Tommy, although I'm not comparing this film to Tommy, the rock opera by The Who.
Right.
But in the film...
They touch a lot of children.
No, but in the film, the drummer... What's his name?
Drummers. Yeah, alright.
It's really annoying that I don't know his name. He's like one of the most famous drummers of all time.
Keith?
No, he's Keith Richards. Yeah, that's his name.
Is it?
Yeah. Right. He plays like Uncle Peter Man.
Uncle Children Touch Writers. Yeah.
And like apparently that's just a thing that happened. Like you'd leave the kids with the uncle.
And then fuck them.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's not very funny when you think about it.
It's kind of hilarious.
It's not.
No, I mean, it's so dark. It's so ridiculous that. It's not funny. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah,
like,
but it happened.
Oh.
It's just like in the 70s. It's just one of those things that was very like rife.
Wow. Okay, well, let's neatly...
Yeah, let's stop talking about it.
I wanted to get on to the fact that there's that ridiculous scene where Robert Downey Jr. goes driving for miles to meet some anonymous informant.
Yeah.
Somewhere. And I don't know if you even see who he meets.
You don't.
And you don't...
Well, you find out what he finds out. He meets the cop from Vallejo or...
Oh, right, okay.
Or, no, from Berkeley or whatever it was.
Right. Okay, that's all.
Yeah, because you find out later, but like they don't show you at the time because it's like shit. Is he gonna get killed by Zodiac?
Yeah.
But it's dumb. Yeah. But it's the sort of thing that a journalist would do. Lois Lane would do it. Like they meet a source to potentially find out something for a story. I mean, it's not beyond the realms of.
And there's that wicked scene before where he's practicing with a gun and can't hit the target for shit.
That's fucking hilarious.
So good. So good.
I think they overdid it a little bit, like the last bit when he shoots like
the mount that the target's hung on,
but like I think it was plenty explained like prior to that where they showed the back of the target and there's just one little hole in the bottom corner.
Yeah.
But I think I think if anything that's indicative of all the problems with this film is that they just overcook it slightly.
Right. What time is it? 22 minutes past 11. When did we start recording?
About half an hour ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, alright, fair enough.
Maybe 35.
No, I meant where else do they ever cook it? Aside from it being...
They just sort of overcook it. Like, they just sort of overshow a few little bits.
Mm.
Like, maybe the scene where Grayskull and... Pedo McMurder like meet stare in the shop and they stare at each other for like what feels like an eternity.
Yeah, yeah. So how much better would this film have been if that character was called Grayskull?
I think it'd be better if he was called Skeletor. If he was called Skeletor, right, and Peter McMurdo was called He-Man.
Right, okay. Isn't that the wrong way around?
Yeah. That's why it would have been good. It was like messed around with the
fucking with your head, man.
Yeah, messed around with the format. What's good, what's bad? Who knows now?
Why is it that I haven't seen He-Man in a very, very long time?
Because it's actually fucking shit.
Really?
Yeah, it doesn't hold up at all.
Oh, that's tragic.
Shockingly bad.
Oh, it's a bit like Bucky O'Hare.
I've actually started revisiting all the old cartoons that I watched when I was a child.
It's just not very good.
Ah, some of them are great. The Beetlejuice cartoon was great.
Really?
Okay. What's the Street Sharks was really good.
Right.
That was about sharks weren't hobos. They were they just like one of them was called Ripster.
Did I tell you?
I don't know. Did you?
That so. I was in Common on Saturday.
Yeah, that's a bar. For those listening.
It might have been in Common. It was either. No, I'm pretty sure I was talking to someone in Common. We were chatting, and I can't remember how we got onto the topic. But at about the same time, we brought up Shark in Venice simultaneously.
Oh, excellent work!
Yeah, it was just like it was proper. It was proper high five material.
Excellent.
And you're like, wait, you've seen Shark in Venice? Like, fuck yeah! It was amazing. Like, and then just talking about how brilliant terrible shark movies are.
Yeah, I found out that Shark in Venice is directed by the same person that directed Shark Attack 3.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's why there's some cast crossover.
All the same characters.
Well, yeah. The same characters as well, but cast crossover.
That's amazing.
That's intense. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I guess quite a lot of people might have seen Shark in Venice, but
yeah,
like the idea that someone is going to admit it is incredible.
It's one of those moments where you're like, yeah, you're cool, I like you.
I watched a film last night called Redwater,
right,
with Lou Diamond Phillips and Mr. Belding from Saved by the Bell.
Right.
And it was fucking awful. It wasn't even Shark in Venice. It was really dull. Like, there was some criminals and then some guys digging for oil and they're all getting eaten by a bull shark.
Right, okay.
It was shit. Right. Don't watch it.
Fair. Well, lesson learned.
Yeah, don't watch every shark film you can find. Because some of them will be bad.
Yeah.
And okay. Not in a good way.
Yeah. Alright.
Let's get on to our arbitrarily rating.
Okay.
Zodiac.
I'm going to start by bracketing and then work down.
Okay.
Because for me, that's somewhere between a 7.5 and an 8.5.
Yeah. I would put it somewhere between a 7.26 and an 8.98.
Right, okay. Yeah. So, a wide range, but very precise boundaries.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they're no more precise than mine.
Well, they're precise to one more digit.
No, they're not. Because you just filled out your digit with something that wasn't a zero. I just filled it with a zero. So, you know, 9.26 is no more precise than 9.2. Because 9.2 is just 9.20.
Yeah.
Now, you know, fuck it.
Come on, I want to hear it.
No, okay. Well, it depends, right? Okay, so if I give you 9.2 and I say that's to one decimal place and I basically say, well, you know, just giving it you to the precision of one decimal place, I've dropped the rest of it.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, you're more precise than I am because, you know, I've reduced the precision. But if I just say it's 9.2, then implicitly it's zero for the rest of the time.
Well, I was assuming that you were only giving it to one decimal place.
Right.
Where I was doing it.
No, I was giving it to an infinite number of decimal places.
Oh, were you?
And after 0.2, they were.
Well,
all
you should have said it in a more infinite manner.
Right, okay.
Then I would have understood what you meant.
So from now on, we're going to rate films 7.5 to an infinite number of decimal places.
Okay.
I mean, I don't even know if anything I'm saying makes sense, to be honest.
I don't think it does.
I suspect it does, but I'm not really sure. Not today. Today I got around to replying to it, but my mum sent me an email a while back that she'd got, like, forwarded. You know, you get those big, like, forwarding chains of emails.
Oh, God, yeah.
And someone had said, oh, you know, they said basically loads and loads of stuff that was mostly nonsense, but a vague curiosity that you can explain very easily. And then they said, you know, we're in the year 2011 and there's all these unusual dates occurring. The first of the first 11, the first of the 11th 11, and 11, 11, 11. All these rare dates. And I was like, wait a minute. They're not
every 100 years.
Well, no. And yeah, they're no more rare than any other dates, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that happens exactly the same number of times as 9, 16, 22.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
But even so.
All these days happen once.
Even so, though, even all these numbers that are, like, matching up,
yeah.
They happen every 100 years.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I've not even thought about that.
I mean, it's hardly rare.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's something we'll get onto on Gattaca,
yeah.
I think, as well. But it's only every 100 years.
Wait, how does that relate to Gattaca?
Because the Titan mission happens every 70... Is it the windows only every 70 years?
Oh, what, to fly to where he was to fly to?
Yeah.
Right, okay, yeah. I
and that sort of trivialises the murder... Slightly.
Oh, what, in the sense that there's just this one chance to...
Yeah, like, the guy wants to see it in his lifetime, which is why... the director wants to see it in his lifetime, which is why it kind of pulls it back in. But, I mean, missions to Titan, which is where they're going, happen quite frequently.
Really?
I mean, four have happened in the last 50 years, haven't they?
Really? Okay.
But
so
anyway,
wait,
I mean, we're talking about Gattaca.
Yeah, we'll talk about Gattaca when we watch Gattaca.
Yeah.
That's probably for the best. But yeah, okay, so I'm narrowing down on like a 7.8, and I think it loses points for being a bit too long.
Where would you put it in your... Where would you put it between, say, like Brick's your top, isn't it? I think we've gathered.
Ish. Okay, so there's a collection of films up there. I've been thinking about this. It includes Brick, it includes Inception and Thin Red Line.
Right.
And it includes... I think it includes Solaris and Gattaca.
Right.
Gattaca, although I don't think is quite as strong, it just has that amazing fucking scene, which is my favourite scene ever, and that just pushes it right back up there. So I don't wanna say that Brick is my favourite film ever, because, you know, it has a very particular feeling.
Yeah.
And there's different films that I like for different feelings. So
if I had to pick a favourite film ever,
yeah.
Which is
It's kind of silly and
yeah,
mood changes. Yeah.
It is, but like the only film I can watch, no matter what I'm doing,
yeah.
is I Love You, Man.
Really?
Which is like a fairly recent, fairly silly bromantic comedy.
Right, okay. Fair enough.
But like, I can literally just watch it
no matter what's happening. Yeah, but I
don't
think that makes it. Like, so for example, there are CDs that I own that I know I can't sit down and listen to unless I have like the energy, because they just sap energy from me.
Yeah.
Like, they're so exciting. That
like what? The Shape.
Like, pardon?
The Shape. Yeah, Refused.
Oh no.
That's a really fucking exciting album.
There is that, but for me it's like albums like Exit English that I know if I listen to, it will just like wind me up completely, like and just exhaust me. Like I can't listen to Two Strike Anywhere albums back to back. I just can't.
I can't listen to One Strike in a row back to back.
Get out.
I think I must be the only person who doesn't like Strike Anywhere.
Yeah, but
the only vegan who doesn't like Strike Anywhere.
Yeah,
that must be. That's got to be it.
But no one else likes them as much as I do, so it doesn't make a difference. No one else we know, anyway.
Well, Graham likes them quite a lot.
Probably not as much as me.
Probably not. I don't think he's been to America to watch them.
Yeah. Well, I didn't go to America to watch them. I just saw them when I was there.
So you're not even a real fan.
Fuck
are you?
Went to Japan to watch them.
Did you?
Did you not know that?
I don't know.
You don't care.
Yeah. Like, you say Strike Anywhere, you might as well say something about science. I'll just switch off.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, good. But yeah, so I'm going to say 7.8. So, where does that... I guess we can rate this in comparison to...
Well, I think if we're going to do point stuff that isn't 5,
yeah.
we have to go up in 2.5s.
What?
Or like 0.25s even.
0.25s?
Yeah. Like, so there's...
So can I do 7.75 then?
Yeah.
Why?
Because then there's not 1,000 ratings between 1 and 10.
Yeah, but if we're going to step in 0.25s...
Oh, like 100,000.
Why don't we rate between Why don't we rate between 1 and 40 and then just step up in integers?
Because it's out of 10? Because it's arbitrary and it's out of 10?
Even if it's arbitrary, why are you locking me down to, you know, quarter
integer? Well, I thought we weren't even going to do these numerical ratings. I thought we were going to do sort of...
We just keep slipping into the habit of them.
Well, they're, like, numerical ratings are bullshit.
Yeah, they're nonsense. Yeah, all right, fair enough. Right, well, okay.
You're going to rate them against... Like, what movie would you rate this against? What would you put it next to in your collection of films that you organise by rating, which if you did that would be really lame.
The thing is, you end up just drawing comparisons because it has to be a similar kind of film, but maybe that's not a bad thing, right? No. So it obviously goes beside Memories of Murder.
Do you remember in our first show we talked about a rating which was like, yeah, buy it, rent it, give it to someone to make sure they fucking watch it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or like throw it out of a window and never ever look for it again.
This is in my recommend stack, definitely. Yeah. But it doesn't go as far as me.
If it was a pound though,
oh,
like would you buy 5 copies of it like you did with Brit?
No, definitely not.
I think I would
recommend this. You know, if it came up in conversation, yeah, real good, you should watch it. If someone came round to watch a film, unless I knew them really well and knew that they'd be really into it, I wouldn't pick it off the bat because I think it's a bit...
It's a bit much.
It's not awesome enough to justify the difficulty of digesting it.
It's a slog as well. It's like a real... I mean, it's not... Like, when we talked about popcorn chompers earlier... The only popcorn chomper that I'm just guessing it because I haven't seen it. The only popcorn chomper that's really got anything real to it, like beyond maybe the first layer, is say Inception.
That's not a popcorn chomper.
I've heard it is, like, it's a blockbuster.
It depends what you mean. Are you talking about a film that you watch without a whole lot of engagement, so you can just kind of roll over?
I haven't seen it. It's from what I gather, mainly from yourself, other people that I talk to, and what Mark Kermode said.
Yeah.
That it's like an engaging, intelligent blockbuster rather than like Transformers 2, which Mark Kermode might describe as robots hitting each other.
Yeah, no, but Transformers 2 sucks. I mean, like.
Well, I haven't seen that either.
Well, neither have I, but I already know it sucks. I mean,
well, yeah,
it's Michael Bay, right? So, like, but, yeah, okay, but I don't know really what we're getting at. Like, Popcorn Chomper to me kind of has connotations of...
Like Automaton?
Just, like, straight-up action films, like, a bit kind of like the Expendables or,
yeah, you absolutely. Know...
No, but you know what I mean.
Like, I was just saying that.
Yeah, a kind of fairly like middle of the road action film that you can just kind of sit through and it's enjoyable. Like, I think Inception really does. Like it pushes boundaries. Like it's very unusual. Like it's definitely unprecedented.
Yeah.
Well, really not strictly. Because
is there another filmmaker working at the moment who is. As good, as consistently good, and also as prominent as Chris Nolan?
I don't think so. If you're looking at, like, I've been looking at IMDb's list of top films, and yeah. I mean, admittedly, most of the ratings on IMDb are dog shit, right? But still, it's pretty impressive that something like 3 of his films are in the.
I bet a bunch of Fincher's films are up there as well.
Right, okay.
I mean, Social Network will be up there because it's new. It'll have loads and loads of votes.
No, I don't think it is. No.
How far down does it go? What sort of numbers? 250.
I'm fairly sure it's...
Social Network's not in the top 250. Fight Club will be.
Fight Club is.
And 7, possibly.
I think it is, yeah.
And what else have we decided that he directed?
Yeah.
Let me get my phone back out.
You know, I don't even know the names of that many directors because I just haven't been that psyched on that many.
Yeah.
Like,
I think there's a lot. I mean...
No, I mean, okay, so for example, I will now watch any Alfred Hitchcock film you can put in front of me. Like,
we're going to watch Rope one day. We're also going to watch Double Indemnity, which isn't a Hitchcock film.
Okay. But after watching Rear Window, I'm just like, right, okay, so turns out people did make rad films in the 50s.
Yeah, they really
did. I'm definitely going to watch a shitload more of them. But...
Would you say that it was very Hitchcockian?
Fuck off!
Did you see things in... When you watched Rear Window, did you see things in it that you've seen maybe elsewhere since those films? Like, precedents that were set in, say, Rear Window... That still happen today, like in terms of, not necessarily in terms of narrative, but in terms of shooting style and like visuals.
I think, you know what surprised me actually. So, I think you can almost do one better than that. I think you can say that there are things that happened in that film, which I haven't seen replicated as well.
Yeah.
Like, things that imitation just hasn't. So, like, I think the dialogue when the lead guy and girl are talking about their relationship fairly near the start.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, it's a really naturalistic disagreement between these two people.
Yeah.
Who just, like... I don't know, it's just so well done. Like, it just evoked every single time I've been dating someone and we've had, like, a disagreement about how a relationship works.
And it doesn't matter that it's, like, that they're disagreeing about the thing they're disagreeing about.
Yeah. Like, I mean, the fact is they're disagreeing about something pretty grand, which is that he's an international photographer and she's a socialite.
Exactly, yeah.
Right? But the way it's done is just so good. Like, they just... Those two characters just mesh in a way that... Like, I was shocked. Like, I expected it... I just had this subtle expectation for it to be stilted. And it was the absolute opposite. Like,
yeah.
you just... I just haven't seen people playing off each other like that well since.
Well, 50s films, in particular, were really good at, like... At dialogue.
Yeah.
Like, a zippy dialogue.
Yeah.
Like, where it's just, like, back and forth. Like,
yeah. But I think... Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of, like, snappiness in it, but there was also a lot of, like, carefully considered, like, you know, carefully paced dialogue as well. In terms of, like, filming styles, I don't think I really had enough, like, I don't think I kind of, I was just watching it, really, fairly laid back and enjoying it. I don't think I was drawing many comparisons.
Well... There are lots of things that were established within Hitchcock films that are still used to this day.
Like,
and those things are Hitchcockian.
No, I get that. Yeah, but I was hoping you were going to give examples.
Off the top of my head, from Rear Window, I couldn't...
But in general?
In general, there's a shot in Rope with a swinging door, and we're going to watch it, so I don't want to go into too much detail.
Right.
And it's fucking incredible. And, like, it just shows you just enough.
Yeah.
And, like... it, like, filmmakers like Dario Argento and a lot of Italian filmmakers were really influenced by Hitchcock.
Right.
I don't think there's a filmmaker in the world that wasn't influenced by Hitchcock. Yeah. The fact that you hadn't seen Rear Window,
it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Like, you know, how do you get jokes from The Simpsons if you haven't watched stuff? It's insane.
Yeah, you know what else I liked about Rear Window is the fact that throughout the entire thing, they were all wrong, right?
Yeah.
In the sense that, like, they just had absolutely no basis for believing what they believed. Like, they're just kind of completely contriving absolute nonsense.
It sounds like a religion allegory.
Fuck off. You know, they were just, you know, investing all this belief in something that was completely without foundation. And then, actually, it turned out that this guy did murder his wife.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Oh, well.
It's 50, 60 years old. And you're the only person left in the world that hasn't seen it, so...
Yeah, okay, fair
enough. Or at least the remake, the 1992 remake with
Christopher Reeve. I was reading about that. Oh, it gets such awful reviews and they're so much fun to read.
Yeah.
Like, all the good reviews are based around people going... Oh, it's really nice he's representing disabled people. And all the bad reviews are like, why the fuck would would you even make this? What would possibly compel you?
Well, what happened was, I'm sure this is what happened, is like, there's fairly prominent actors in a wheelchair. Yeah. They want to make another film. What film can we make? Yeah. It's either Ironside or...
Yeah. Amazing.
So was that your first experience of James Stewart then?
Yeah.
Fucking amazing is James Stewart?
He's so good. He's so good. I like him so much.
You need to watch Harvey.
Okay.
It's a film about him and his giant imaginary rabbit friend.
Yes, I'm into it. I just love the way he gesticulates.
Yeah. Like, and his voice, he's got that amazing voice.
Oh, so good. Yeah, absolutely brilliant. I'm going to watch the shit out of that film. Like, I loved it to bits.
So, let's finish up on Zodiac. Yeah. I'm going to set you some homework as well.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about what we're going to watch next week, which is Gattaca.
Yeah.
So we don't need to talk about that at all.
So, homework.
Well, my rating for Zodiac is... I can't say two thumbs up. That's actually copyrighted.
Really?
So, two hands in an upward motion with extended... digits. I fucking think Zodiac's mint.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I mean, we didn't talk about it very much. Just watch it. There's nothing.
It's hard to talk about.
It is. It's just beautiful and dead good.
Yeah.
Like, it's beautifully shot. We mentioned that maybe three or four times without sort of extrapolating on it, because it's just beautifully shot.
I think the thing is, it's so long and broad that you just. It's very difficult to summarise and pick out individual bits.
And like, the fact of the matter is, you get so drawn in that you can't mentally note stuff, because it's like, I'm in the story. It's almost too good to review. Yeah. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah. Okay.
Might not agree, but
I'll go with that. I think it's
too compelling to review.
Yeah, exactly. And okay, fair enough.
Or too successful.
So, next week, we are going to get around to watching Gattaca.
Yes, we are. But our Gattaca non-competition, basically, if you want to email us at realpunks.gmail.com.
realpunks@gmail.com.
Yeah, did I say dot?
You said dot.
Oh, I meant at.
Yeah. So there's a copy of Gattaca going, basically.
Yeah, so if you email us and you haven't seen Gattaca... Just email us saying, "I haven't seen Gattaca. I listened all the way to the end of the podcast."
Yeah, yeah.
And then you'll get a free copy of Gattaca sent to you for one listener. That is,
yeah.
Just to clarify.
Well, I think we could probably afford to give free copies of Gattaca to all of our listeners.
You don't know how many listeners we've got. I do. I'm not telling you because you'll cry.
Well, it's probably going on zero, isn't it?
No, we're doing all right.
You know what though? I'm not convinced about the whole listener number thing, because.
It's download numbers. It's not listener numbers, but it's download.
Well, exactly. We have no way of telling who got to the end.
Yeah. Well.
Well, now we do. So.
Well, maybe.
Well.
Like maybe our listeners are switched on and intelligent enough to already have copies of Gattaca.
Well, okay. In that case.
If you already own Gattaca, email us and say I got to the end and I already own Gattaca.
And we'll give you a different film that we like.
Well, I don't know about that.
Really?
Yeah. Our download numbers are pretty good.
Well, assuming that no one else comes along and claims Gattaca. So if no one claims... No, wait a minute.
So, we can give out... we can give out 299 DVDs as long as one person hasn't seen Gattaca.
No. Hold the fucking phone. Right. Someone emails and says, I've not seen Gattaca. You get a copy of Gattaca. Someone emails...
Whoever was first, basically... Get a film. If you've got Gattaca, you get something else.
No, wait, because... No, this is fucking stupid. Just give us an email, we'll sort something out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we email us...
You may or may not get a film.
We'll give you a free copy of the Leagues Apart Sea Shepherd 7-inch. Because they've got fucking loads of them.
Really? Okay. That'll appeal to all of about no one.
That'll appeal to everyone that listened to the last episode, maybe.
What with Bill Bella?
Yeah,
I don't think any of us give a compelling performance.
Hey, have you listened to it? I had to listen to it through because for some reason the files wouldn't copy properly.
I probably should listen to it. Yeah.
It was alright. It wasn't terrible.
Okay, right. So.
So homework, right?
Homework.
I'm setting you homework. It's a film called The Nines.
When do I have to watch this by? Because I have a deadline.
I'll give you 2 weeks.
Okay, that's fine. I can deal with that.
It's It stars Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
It's directed by John August, and it's about three different people, all played by Ryan Reynolds, and how their lives overlap.
Okay. You know what? I went into FOP a couple of days ago to buy a film.
Yeah.
Spent 20 quid on films, completely forgot to even pick up the one that I wanted.
What did you buy?
Rashomon. Right. Takeshi's.
I was looking at that Rashomon they've got in there.
Thinking all the little things you say. No, I didn't mean it to be this way. I've been trying my hardest to not fall asleep. I made your mistakes, but I'm still here to keep. I'll tell you for the last time, I'm not gonna sleep. Night, I think you're alright. What's right? Whoa, oh. Write me a list of your favorite records. I know you love writing lists and listening to Jazz to Brazil. Long nights has your face on, and the animal has your heart. Yeah, we were born 10 years too late. Keep me busy, cause I'm not getting bored. When you're bored, you're only boring. This may be all for nothing, but it won't be fucking boring. No, it won't be fucking boring.
To be alone than miss someone, but not if you know what you're missing. I'd sit on the phone for hours, and I'd only write about you.
It's better to be alone than miss someone, but not if you know what you're missing. I'll sit on the phone for hours.